In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel today from Matthew chapter 21 is a parable. And in the parable, Jesus tells us what God is like and how we are. And he kind of recaps everything that we know of salvation history in this one little parable. It's an easy one to explain. The landowner, the householder, sometimes translated man in some of the texts, is God. And the tenants, also called vine dressers in the Study Bible, that's another translation, are the leaders of the faith. And God puts them in charge. Then when he sends his servants to see if the vines, the vineyards, are bearing fruit, then bad things start to happen. The servants kill and stone and cast out his servants. The servants are the prophets that God has sent throughout the ages. You know, people to tell us this is what God wants and we need to be doing it. And throughout history they've been rejected. Finally, the householder decides to send his son, thinking they will respect him. But the vine dressers say, "Ah, this is the son. Let us kill him and take his inheritance." Of course, the son being Jesus Christ. So we see in this parable kind of what's been happening throughout history from the beginning. God creates. He creates a people for a specific purpose, creates people to be his people, to obey him, to listen to him, and for the purpose of sharing in his life, sharing in life in the kingdom. But the people reject God's messengers. They cast them out, they stone them. And when the Son is sent, they decide to take things into their own hands. "We will seize the inheritance." And they kill the son and take him away from the city. Jesus came, we know, to restore us to God. And he does that in his sacrifice on the cross. God created us for this purpose of having life. And throughout history, our own stubbornness and unwillingness to listen and to accept what God has led us to a place where we suffer in the world and where even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, suffered and was killed, was cast out of the city and rejected. There were some faithful Jews, not all of them rejected, but in wholesale terms, he was rejected. And we can think of this parable in terms of the Jewish leadership of the day, whom it is addressed to, given the context. But it's also addressed to us. Where are we with this today? God has something prepared for us. He wants us to inherit it. And yet we, like the vine dressers in the parable, decide to seize it on our own terms. God has prepared an inheritance for us, but it is ours in due time. It is ours at the end when all things are fulfilled. Not as the vine dressers thought, to seize now, to kill the son and take it by force, by violence. This is really us, though. You know, we don't do the will of God. We know it's there. We hear God's word, but we're constantly opposing it with our own will. And that's a good definition of sin. Anything that's not the will of God, that's coming from our own. Not listening to God, but rather listening to our own counsel, to the counsel of the world, to the things that make us powerful, that satisfy us in the world, and rather not the things of God. So this is a good parable to keep in mind, especially today as we come upon this wonderful feast of the church. Tomorrow in the church, Tuesday in the church, we celebrate the Nativity of the Theotokos, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. And it is through her feast that we can see that there indeed were some faithful people and have been throughout history. People that have listened to God, people that have loved God. And because of people's willingness to do His will, we are able to celebrate this wonderful feast. That's why we make such a big deal about, if you see on the cover of the bulletin this Sunday, it's got the troparion for the Feast of the Nativity. And it says, "By your nativity, O most pure virgin, Joachim and Anna are freed from barrenness." See, we like that idea of somebody who's barren suddenly giving birth to the one who will do the will of God, Mary. The one who had good parents. And we also like to talk about Joachim and Anna and make an example of them. Joachim and Anna raised her up to love God, to know the law, to love His word. She was in the temple, she was brought into the temple, and she was schooled in the ways of God from her youth. So that when the time came for Mary to be asked to do this unimaginable thing, to give birth to the Son of the Most High, not having known a man, and the angel told her, "This is from the Holy Spirit," Mary said, "Yes, yes, let it be to me according to what you have said. Let it be to me according to the word of God." We mentioned last Sunday how John, the forerunner, John the Baptist, has such a prominent place in our understanding of our faith. And we see that in the iconography. John is pictured over here. He's the last great prophet and the last great saint under the Old Covenant. Similarly, Mary has a very, even more prominent place in our understanding of faith, because Mary is the first. She's the greatest. She's the first to know Jesus Christ and to open her heart to Him and to say, "Yes, Lord, let it be." So Mary is always pictured, of course, on the right-hand side, right from the perspective of Christ in the altar, enthroned, right? "The queen stood at thy right hand, clothed in a robe of gold, adorned in varied colors." Mary is always pictured there. And of course, we have the Platitera icon up here on the apse with Mary, arms spread wide, Jesus Christ in her center, always inviting us to say yes, as she too says yes. So Mary for us, and we hold her in such prominence, you know, there's not a dismissal or a blessing in the church that happens without calling her name, right? Calling to remembrance all the saints, especially the Most Blessed Theotokos. Through the prayers of the Most Holy Theotokos is how we conclude all our services. Mary for us is a great example. She's an example because of her piety, because of her humility, her meekness, and above all, her acceptance of the will of God. In contradistinction to what we see in the parable today, those who would inherit the kingdom but took it upon themselves to take it by killing the Son and seizing it. Those who don't do the will of God. Mary is a shining example for us to emulate, to have pray for us, to model our lives after, to teach our children, to look up to, and to learn about. Piety, purity, patience. And it wasn't easy for her. It wasn't easy. "A soul will pierce your soul," she was told by Simeon when she brought Jesus into the temple. And it says she kept all these things in her heart. You know, she would bear this wonderful child who would bring salvation to the world, but she would also see him precede her in death. And no parent ever wants to do that. So it wasn't easy for the Virgin Mary. We have her, thank God, to pray for us, to show us the example, and to be the thing we aspire to. May we have faith in God and love Him so truly and without question as to accept His will unconditionally as it's given to us. Back to the parable today, Jesus says, when the parable finishes, that he asks, what will the householder do to those tenants, to those vine dressers? Well, he will punish them, and then he will give the vineyards to another people who will take care of it, to other vine dressers. That's basically the same language that Paul used to preach the gospel. We see it at the end of Acts when he's in Rome and when he's about to, tell the Jews. He meets with the Jerusalem leaders in Rome and he's about to tell them, this is it. You have to accept this. And he tells them basically that thing. Well did the prophets prophesy of you, saying your ears and your hearing has become dull and your speech has become thick. Because you do not hear the word of God. You don't have ears to hear it. Therefore, this salvation, Paul says, know that it will be given to the Gentiles. They will accept it. And of course, the Jews are very offended by that. But this simply tells us that God will have a people to honor Him. He will have a people that love Him and respect Him. He's not locked in to any particular person or nationality or geography. Like it was under the old covenant, God made a covenant with a people, the Jews, and He gave them His word. But largely speaking, it was rejected. Therefore, God opens up salvation to all, and all become His sons. Not by a genetic inheritance, not by a genealogy, but rather by doing His will. Who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? Jesus asks rhetorically in the Gospels. The ones who hear the word of God and keep it, these are the ones. And on the feast of the Nativity of the Theotokos, on every feast day of the Theotokos, we read the Gospel where Jesus is being praised through His mother, and a woman from the crowd tells Him, "Blessed are the breasts that nursed you and the womb that bore you." And Jesus corrects and He says, "Blessed rather are they who hear the word of God and keep it." That correction is putting the emphasis on Mary's preeminence in the church where it needs to be. Of course, it's a wonderful thing to bear the Son of God, the eternal Logos. It's a one-time event. It's unique. No one else did it. Only she did it. And she is great. But the reason we hold her in such high regard, even greater than that, she was willing to do it. And you and I can't bear the eternal Logos in our womb. That's unrepeatable. But we can hear the word of God, love Him, trust Him, and patiently endure whatever God has for us in order to accomplish that will. In imitation of Mary, we can say yes to God. We can open up our hearts and say, "Let it be to me according to your word." Therein is the great example we have in the church, and therein is Mary's greatness. Hears the word of God and keeps it. So we ask for the prayers of the most blessed Theotokos and ever Virgin Mary on this Sunday, on the feast day of the Nativity coming up in just a couple of days, We ask for all the saints to pray for us as we learn how to do the will of God, as we learn how to hear the Word of God with ears that are willing to hear it and hearts that are willing to receive it and ultimately do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.